Of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 27, we read of Paul being a victim, so to speak, of high wind on the sea and ultimate destruction, wrecking of the ship. Was it God who sent that heavy high wind, high breeze on the sea to cause that wreck? From all indication, when you read the context, it appears as if it is just one of those things. That it was not directly sent by God. It only happens that God's faithful servant was in that ship that the wind affected, and it had bearing on him. But the context would reveal that the terrible wind that caused destruction for the contents of the ship, that it was not sent directly by God. But when you take that same situation to Jonah, that's a different scenario. In Jonah's case, it was God who sent the wind. Let us run to that one in the book of Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The one in which Paul was involved in the shipwreck, that is Acts chapter 27, verse 7 following. May I just, a lot of us are well acquainted with that passage, but if you don't, here is Paul in the ship. Appeal to Caesar, and that was God's way. It was a successful appeal. Not all appeal to Caesar reach Caesar's throne, but Paul's own reached there. And it is, from all indication, the Almighty God wanted the gospel to reach Caesar's throne in Rome. And it did, through Paul. The shipwreck, the Almighty God sent assurance by angel to tell Paul that not only will the Almighty God protect him, but that the Almighty God threw in, the Almighty God give him some brata. The Almighty God told him that those sailors who sail in the ship, I give them to you. That is, their lives will be saved because of you. I find that awesome. Not because of the merchant that were on the ship. Not because of the captain of the ship. But because one man was there, the servant of God, Paul. Their lives would be saved. But remember, what is the point? There is no indication that the high wind that confront that ship was directly from God. It's just one of those things that happen. Now, but with Jonah's case now, it's a different case. Let us hear in the book of Jonah chapter 1 from verse 3 and 4.
But Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish.
That is, Jonah was running from God. Wait, you know, if it runs in your mind, this have no relevance to us. I have news for you. There are dozens of ways where we run from God. There are many members who run from the work that is going on in the church. That's right. brothers and sisters who find excuse not to be a part of what the church is doing. We have open year meeting once a month. We invite every brother, every sister to set some premium time one side to be a part of that. It's God's business. There are members who will come up with different excuses, and while they do not explain those excuses to you or me, they find ways to exempt themselves. Not because God doesn't want them to be a part of it, but because they feel it's not their business. They are busy with other things. Brothers and sisters, there are many ways in which we run from God and run from being engaged in his business. Well, the Almighty God gave Jonah a commission, a command to go and preach to some ungodly people. And Jonah just felt one. The people were wicked, they were Gentile, and it's like wasting time on them. Two, Jonah was afraid that his preaching would be successful. You know, the human nature. Because we as Christians must take lesson. Pray that they would yield to his preaching. And yes, he didn't want that. Because he didn't want God repent from what God planned to do. The Almighty God planned to destroy them if they don't repent. Well, Jonah wants God to destroy them. And Jonah felt if he go and preach and they repent, God wouldn't worry destroy them. But my God, that's what you should want, Jonah. You see, I keep saying with that passage, we must make sure we understand the meaning in whatever we preach. And the implication to us. So Jonah was running. Here again is ignorance. Like men and women today, they think they can run from God, hide from God. We cannot. So he was running from God. Read.
From the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish.
Wait. You said something about from the presence of the Lord. Let me hear it again.
But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
That's right. Jonah rose up, flee, run from God's presence. What ignorance. But do you know that ignorance is alive today? Men and women who think they can run from God's presence, they can hide from God. We cannot. Read on.
And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, yeah. and went down into it.
Wait. Here is a man going to take a ship, going to sail on sea. And he thought that ship would take him away from God. Huh? Read on.
And went down into it. To go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord.
Here again, you see, God didn't send the man to Tarshish. He was sent to Nineveh. And he thought he could run from God. Read on.
But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea.
Okay, you see, remember in the book of Acts of the Apostle 27, we didn't read that passage and just relate. But when you read the complete context, you're going to see that Paul took a ship, he appealed to Caesar, he was a prisoner. He appealed to Caesar, and being a Roman citizen, that could not be denied him. Caesar is the highest person to whom you could appeal under the Roman law. But that was a privilege, a great privilege to those who were Roman citizens. And Paul appealed to Caesar. And he was on his way to Rome to explain his preaching, and that he did not mean to disrupt Caesar's reign or whatever. But in going to Rome, the ship run into a storm. My point is that storm, or that situation, Paul just happened to find himself in a ship at a route that the wind affect the ship. It was not that God sent the high wind for that purpose. With Jonah now, the Almighty God did get involved and send the wind as a rebuke to Jonah. Read, brother.
And there was a mighty tempest in the sea,
mm-hmm.
so that the ship was like to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
Then the mariners were afraid,
mm-hmm.
and cried every man unto his God.
All this was God's doing. A completely different situation from what we read in Acts of the Apostles 27, involving Paul traveling on a ship. When you read the two things, from the surface it may look the same. It's two children of God traveling in ship and they encounter high wind and the sea. No, one of them is God's miracle to bring Jonah to his senses that you cannot run from God. The other one is a different situation which, in spite of the perilous tempest involving Paul and the merchant and the soldier in that ship, the Almighty God saved Paul. And because Paul, the servant of God, was in that ship, the Almighty God saved the others. They're not the same. And I'm just after explaining for her that there are some things that God sent. God sometimes put a break on the working of nature so that God's immediate plan and purpose will have its way. And we must be mindful of that. For example, Paul, thorn in the flesh, spoken about in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12. Somebody read that for me. 2 Corinthians 12, from around verse 5, 6, or 7.
Oh, that he was caught up into paradise and heard. All right, let me go down. Of such one.
Second Corinthians 12. Let me hear verse 5 or 6 or 7, somewhere about there.
Verse 5. Mm-hmm. Of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. That's 5.
Read.
For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he say to me to be,
mm-hmm.
or that he heareth of me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation,
uh-huh.
there was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
Notice the almost contradiction in this passage. I want you to note something because of the blessing that God has given Paul, blessing of knowledge, understanding of God's will, God's purpose, to the extent that Peter had to refer to it when he talks about some of the things that Paul writes, that they are so deep a thing, they are not easily understood, and those who are unlearned rest with those truths that Paul wrote about, and that they do so to their own destruction. So Peter was acknowledging Paul's great knowledge. What Paul is saying in the passage Vivian just read is that the Almighty God blessed this man in such immense way with knowledge of God's ways, God's will, that if Paul wasn't careful, he would be exalted above measure. That means the praise, the adoration, and the whatever that people would give to him. He said a thorn was given him in the flesh. But what you're going to notice, this thorn will be a messenger of Satan. That's where the contradiction, how can it be given him, implying by God, yet it's something that Satan seems used quite often. Just read that little part again.
There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan.
You hear that? The messenger of Satan. Meaning, whatever the thorn was, and many of us feel strongly that it might be some problem with his eyes. There are at least two or three passages that would imply that. He said to one of the congregation to which he wrote that, he said, I wrote this letter with my own hands. And for them to note it, he said, see how large a letter I write unto you. You know, a person whose sight is not so right, they must be write their letter. When they write A, it's big. When they write B, it's big, because their sight. Then there's another passage he implied that that congregation, they would give him their own eyes, because they care for him. So we tend to think, we are not sure, that the thorn in the flesh was some eye problem was given him. But here he's telling us why this messenger of Satan was given. Read, brother.
The messenger of Satan to buffet me.
That's right. That means to keep him under heavy manners. That's what the idea there of something given him, it was something negative, to keep him subdued, to let it be known that he's a human being, for him to know that and for others to know that. I you know, there's so much that God is teaching us when we read things like that. Read on.
Lest I should be exalted above measure.
You see. It was given to subdue him. So here is a sick man, or a man with some ailment, probably the greatest servant Jesus Christ and the gospel has ever had. He was sick. He went to God about three times for God to get rid of it for him. The God, the Almighty God, told him that it's not going to be rid of. He will have to live with it. But God's power in him will make him sufficient for all things. Because God's power make one strong in weakness. That's a lesson for us also. But watch here now. It is called a messenger of Satan. It was given him, and I have no doubt given him by God. But God used this messenger of Satan for Paul's benefit, positive benefit. Can we look at another sickness? We won't read, just relate. There's another servant of God that was sick, Hezekiah. Anybody here ever hear about him? Mm-hmm. A king. And God's message to him is that he should set his house in order, for tonight he's going to die. May I just drop by here too? The passage in Hezekiah does not necessarily imply that the sickness and Hezekiah was sent by God. How did we learn? I want to put that in the right phrase. That foreknowledge does not necessarily imply foreordination. Let me explain that. That the Almighty God sent a message to Yvette that the car that she's driving going to have 2 front wheel puncture. That God sent that message knowing that she's going maping her mandible tomorrow. And God sent the message to her today. That does not necessarily imply that is God going to puncture the tire. Very important that it's a simple principle, and we in college we learn that foreknowledge does not necessarily imply foreordination. That I have knowledge of the thing before it happened does not necessarily mean I'm the one who caused it to happen. Very important that we understand that. That God sent angel or spirit or a prophet to tell you this going to happen, it does not necessarily mean that it is God going to make it happen. It only means that God knows that it is going to happen before it happened. And for whatever special relationship you may have with him, he wants you to know what's going to happen that you can take precaution. So with Hezekiah's sickness, that does not mean that it is God who sent it. The Almighty God only wants him to know that his sickness is going to lead to death. And what a blessed message God gave the man. Because you know what? That message to him from God brought repentance. And that repentance brought extension of life. But it does not necessarily mean that the sickness that was destined at that point to take his life was sent by God. It's just that God knew that he would be visited upon by some ailment, some sickness, some disease, and God wanted him to fix up his life, and the man did fix up his life. The Almighty God did extend his days. That is different from Paul's situation. In that it seems the Almighty God used something that Satan often uses on God's servants. It is called a messenger of Satan. Am I not right? That's right. And that implies that Satan usually uses that to get us. The Almighty God uses it to keep Paul humble. We must make sure that when somebody is leading us down a path, or using particular passage, particular act of God or of nature to misrepresent God, one, may the Almighty God place us in a position where our knowledge of His will save the moment. And may the Almighty God help us to prepare ourselves that we can be of help in guiding others. In understanding the difference between God's permissive will and God's efficacious will. God's efficacious will is that which God planned and carry out. God's permissive will are things that it did not originate in God's plan and purpose. But God sometimes permits it for His own purpose. And in most cases, for our own good, our own blessing.